Welcome, friends, to another conversation, another episode of this exploration that we are doing between counselor, coach, and spiritual director. What or how people change? That is the overarching theme. How people change? What do we see? What have we learned? Different streams, right, that bring different perspectives. But it is the same human being, isn't it? Different aspects of our change. So I'm happy to be again here with Dawn Bird, who is a coach, and she has her own coaching practice. And she is also a very experienced faith walking coach, and actually helping us with the training for coaches for faith walking. So Dawn, welcome. It's great to have you.
Thanks, Marcos. Appreciate it. Yeah. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's great to be with you. And well, we don't have today BJ and his perspective. He will probably be with us next time. And today we are going to continue conversations about trauma, right? Trauma. Today we would like to focus in what is the impact of trauma and just explore more about our experience around that. But to start, Dawn, I think you suggested, and I think it's a great suggestion to start reminding ourselves of a functional working definition. What is trauma again? So I know that you have something handy to share. Would you tell us what is trauma?
Sure. Yeah. So there's a lot of definitions on trauma, but I think the one we feel is pretty helpful is that it's the response to a deeply distressing or disturbing event that overwhelms an individual's ability to cope, causes feelings of helplessness, diminishes their sense of self, and their ability to feel a full range of emotions and experiences. And you know, Marcos, as I read that or reread it this morning, I realized I was thinking about my own experience, and I was thinking that I don't think I knew at the time that all these things were happening. So just as I reflect back, it doesn't mean that it wasn't trauma if I didn't know at the time that I really was overwhelmed as a kid, that the events were distressing. And so that just helps me to think about other people and to think about their, as they think about this definition that perhaps they didn't realize it at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. Not only for reading, but to just sharing a little bit of this experience for you, Dawn. And the truth is, how will you know? Mm. Right? I mean, what in the world could help you know as a kid that what you were living was trauma? And you know, even we don't go that far with the name, the label, but that you were living was distressing and not normal. How could you know? Just the pain probably is the only thing that you felt, and you were present to pain. But you know, I think that is, I don't know what's the impact of even considering that, the fact that you didn't know, and the fact that how in the world you should know.
Mm. Yeah, I think I was sort of thinking about other instances of trauma where there's been like abuse, you know, physical abuse, sexual abuse, maybe a loss of a parent, a divorce, a natural disaster. So because none of those happened, I think for a lot of my life, I knew there were things that weren't quite right. I knew I was struggling in some areas of my life, but I didn't see it as maybe trauma I don't think I was present to the severity of it because it wasn't one of those great big things.
Yeah. Yeah, that is it's very telling. You know, I mean, you mentioned different types of trauma, and yes, of course, if there was a shooting in the school, and you know, suddenly all the the school authorities bring all these therapists to talk with kids. Okay, what is the deal? But yeah, that what happened with that other trauma that, you know, we don't know that we don't know. We don't know what we don't know. It just seems that it's normal and probably more complex, right?
Yeah.
So I like to keep following that thread in a way. Okay, let's try to just at least to create this category of those two, right? The ones that we knew and we can say because it's an event, right? We can see it. And this other that is not necessarily a conscious event or is an event that was conscious at that time. But in adult years, I didn't know, right? So, but let's hold that as we consider the impact of it. Right, so trauma takes place and cause and effect, right? There is always an impact. And I think even in the awareness of becoming present to the impact of trauma as part even of the processing trauma work. But what has been your experience, Dawn, in talking with people who have experienced trauma?
Yeah, I think it seems that, we talked about categories like how does it affect a person emotionally, physically, spiritually, psychologically. And I think when I think about the emotional effects, I think about, that there's, I thought of four things that kind of come up: anger, fear, sadness, and shame around trauma. And I see that it looks a lot of different ways. I think physically it can come out in all kinds of, GI kinds of things. And I think for myself, what I noticed was mostly anxiety and depression as a result of the things that I was sort of, experiencing from what I grew up with. And I think one of the markers around trauma and how we get through it, whatever it's emotionally, physically, that kind of thing, is whether there was another adult or person who was able to be there for us in that trauma. And so perhaps if there's a school shooting, then they bring in counselors, your parents get to come around you, or you lost a parent and the grandparents come around you. But oftentimes, for myself and the people I work with, it was just this thing that was going on. Maybe dad had just horrible bouts of anger. Maybe there was a sense where a person just didn't feel valued or listened to, or they were taking care of mom because dad was, mean. And so, so I think what happens is in those situations in mine where there's alcoholism, that you keep that a secret, like you don't tell anybody, like you can't let other people know outside of the family. So the kid just, me, other people just have to figure it out as a 6-year-old or 8-year-old or a 10-year-old, which is really difficult. So I think that part, I think for us to remember as we work with people and just as people, you're a dad, to know that we can't always help what happens to our kids, but we can be there for them in that. And that just makes a huge, huge difference in how they're able to move through it.
Exactly. I like that. And, it's not what happened to us, right? It's how we process what happened to us. So you may have that experience of the shooting or the event, but there was the kindness of presence of somebody in your life who, maybe not being a counselor or a professional, allow you to process and reprocess what happened to you, that help you move through the trauma. And I think that is a key element that I think in this era that we are a lot of therapy and a lot of stuff and self-help, it is a little bit liberating, at least for me. It's not what happened to you, but how you process it. And I like a lot, I hear you talking about, not too little, because it has been too much, but for too long. You know, it's not this big event, it's a big explosion, but, you know, the impact of my dad being an alcoholic, the impact of my mom having a clinical depression, the impact of even you want a personality disorder, you know, coming into the coaching. But and you mentioned anger, you mentioned emotions for sure, right? And that's it. And the physiology of it, you know, yeah, there is an element of immune system and stuff like that. So there is a physiological part of it. What comes up to me as the impact of trauma, I like Jim Wilder talks about not feeling like myself or feeling not like myself. And how in the world do I feel like myself? But I think there is a sense, right, of okayness internally in us, and trauma breaks that. So I'm going to talk in terms of a little bit of identity and self-perception. Right, it's not only the emotional aspect, but also the kind of this identity cognition of who am I, and you know, so these faulty beliefs, right, that go in so many possible directions, but they are faulty. It's my fault. I'm not valued. I'm not good enough. It's always like that. And expands to this idea of the world. So this is faulty belief and identity, not feeling like myself. This is about me. But it is also about the world. The world is not safe. The world is cruel. The world is doesn't care. I mean, and many people even listening might say, well, yeah, that's true. Well, it might in some aspects, but it's not all true. So not everybody necessarily is like that, but I start seeing in a pervasive and permanent and kind of personal way the world in this, like, give a meaning to the world. In faith walking, we talk about meanings. And from the perspective of spiritual direction, that kind of is part of my streams, there is a faulty belief about this. I'm going to call it from a counseling perspective, but from this, a fundamental attachment relationship with God. Okay, and not everybody might agree with that, but you know, there is something that can be say about it. So there is a sense of there is somebody in charge and creator or whatever, but what's my identity with God and how the dynamics of that change? So it is a change of lenses in all these three directions. And how hard is to be able to manage your life, if that makes sense, if the sense of identity, the sense of the environment, and the sense of belonging, it is broken, it is altered by trauma. Not feeling like myself.
Right, yeah, I think that's really good.
And the thing is that that is by itself a long journey, right? And you might do coaching and therapy and all kinds of things to try to regain, reassess that sense of identity and manage all the other things that come. You know, I have one example of somebody that I'm working with that lived trauma. I mean, and another aspect is trauma over trauma, right? So trauma in her own family of origin, right? That's a lot. And then in her marriage, and then some levels of aspects. In this case, to put an example, so her husband is in recovery, right? From some addiction, and part of the traumatic experience for this person is what happened, is the relationship with what happened with the addiction relationship with her husband. But now, some years later, and a lot of therapy and a lot of things, the husband is doing better. You know, he's actually doing a lot better. You know, this is not taking sides or anything. But things are changing. You know, we can approach that and see there is evidence of change. And that causes trauma to her. You can see immediately the activation, the tears. It's like she's picking fight. You know, what's going on? And now there's this awareness in her. Well, what I notice is that the last time that I was hurt is when I thought that he was doing better. So suddenly this good thing becomes a threat. Oh my gosh. How we move with this? But you see, so it is not only he has to be better, but right now, even when he is better, the trauma. So that's an example of this aspect of trauma, right?
Yeah, that's a good example. I think I would just say for the majority of the people that I work with, that the trauma shows up in a way where they were raised in a family where there was this was a faith-filled family, that there was a really important need to look a certain way on the outside. And at the same time, what was going on inside of the home was, like I said, a lot of anger, a lot of yelling, a lot of what this kid is learning is sort of the opposite of what following Jesus might look like. And so some people feel everything, like they feel a whole lot. And other people don't feel anything. Like, what do you feel in your body? I have no idea. What can you identify? Is there a part of you that feels tense? My whole body feels tense. So there's this range of, I don't even know what I feel. I don't even know what I think, because all, like, doing any of that was unsafe, or this sense of this, maybe this person's just naturally more attuned to emotions, more sensitive, and they just feel everything, like a heightened sense. They already have a lot of anxiety, so anything on it just heightens them. So, yeah, and still trying to feel like they were gaslighted to some degree. Yeah. Like, you told me this, and yet this isn't what I saw. And so I don't even trust myself.
Yes.
And that's a really hard place to be as a 40 or a 50-year-old trying to work through that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that's a misalignment between the internal experience, right, and the external evidence, if you want to, you know. So this is dancing a line, and I don't know what to trust. Is internal, is external? How lost I feel. And by the way, go ahead, sorry.
Just how distressing that is to a kid's own neurological system. It's so distressing because they're, you know, they're biologically hardwired to these caregivers. They need them for food, for shelter, for care. And so they're wanting to believe the very best. They're wanting that person's love. And so they're doing whatever it takes to get that. But it's so distressing to their nervous system at the same time.
Exactly. And if you add to rigid, you know, even with hopefully a good heart, very even religious, you know, and this is good, this is bad. And, you know, I say that I love God. You play the God card into that misalignment. And it's not only distressing, but extremely confusing. Because where is the goodness again? And goodness doesn't feel like that. What came to mind, and there is actually something like biotemperaments, right? And you point at that, saying there is a kid who doesn't feel anything, or the biotemperament is a lower, right? Is over control, is more like, I have a little bit of a harder time, or it takes more time for me to feel and to make sense of feelings. That the other biotemperament, under control, and then, my gosh, everybody knows what I'm feeling when I was a kid, because I was, everybody knows when I'm happy and when I'm sad, and how that place. And I think that is a helpful thing to for us to remember in all of this, because trauma in that transaction that takes place with environment and caregivers and this internal reality and the confusion that also that might bring, you know, all kids should be this way or that way, is not. All that is our influences of trauma. And so a few thoughts about, I think that we have mentioned some of these implicitly, but what is the impact of trauma in people who are around family members, friends, people who are around the person who suffers the trauma? What are your thoughts about it?
Yeah, I think you mentioned something really important, and that is that it really does affect the other people, that the way that the way I see the world, the way I experience conflict, the way I make meaning out of other people really affects that relationship. It affects that relationship with others. So, I mean, I think about, like, for myself, I think I made, I was so sensitive to things like if my husband thought I wasn't smart, or if he thought, that I didn't handle something the way that he wanted to. I mean, I was just hypersensitive to that, to criticism, because being able to do things perfectly and perform well was so, that was how I got a lot of my needs met. And so I think it puts, you know, I mean, we don't mean to, but we do put things on other people that aren't really theirs. And, we can't help that. I mean, we're going to do that, but we can also learn not to, you know, not to do that. But I think it does, you know, Marcus, you know, it influences all of our relationships.
Yeah. I think it's like a rippling effect, right? The closer that you are of the center, the more clear impact is in you. And it is, again, the transaction, right, that takes place. And I don't know why that is exploding in this way, but that explosion is affecting me, you know. As I think, especially the category, coming back, the first categories that you put, you know, the category of not knowing. So there's no big event that took place in my life, in my timeline, but actually it was the impact of that, of mom, of a brother, right? The losing of somebody in the family, you know, how that start changing and moving. So definitely, I think the untreated or unfaced trauma in our lives becomes a burden that in a way we also transmit to people that are closer to us. And that's the sad part. People that we love the most sometimes are the people who suffer the most, right? Because they don't have a chance.
Right.
So there's a sense of responsibility. And I like when I think of trauma, I think that brings a positive note. I think that the impact is negative, right? It's pain, it's distress, it's sense of identity lost. But we need more than that negative motivation to be able to, acquire the courage that we need to face our trauma, right? We need some pulling, some positive motivation. What will be life if I will be able to overcome trauma? You know, what will be the impact of being able to face trauma too? It's not like an aspirin that I can take and it's going to take the headache away and that's it. It's a harder work, it takes time, but the vision, right, of a life where I can be myself. I like that. Jim Wilder, I can be like, feel like myself again.
Yeah.
We need that.
And I think one of my motivations is I really like, and I think my parents were able to do this. They were able to create a better experience for their kids than they had. But I'd like to leave a legacy of at least growth, like, you know, change how we do things, do it differently. And like, for me, that's a lot of motivation to, like, in my own work, to keep doing the work, yes, because it will impact not just my kids but generations to come. Just like I was affected by generations to come, I will be able to affect those generations. And that's so motivating to me.
It is. And it's life-giving. I had a conversation actually in a session today with somebody who actually was doing faith walking. And he put it this way, and I like the analogy. He was saying, my gosh, I never saw how much those people, and he's referring people in his past, were in me today. You know, he's talking about the traits of traumatic events and traits of perfectionism and rigidity, and you know, it has to be this way. No, no, you cannot fail. That's traumatizing. But said, over the work of some work that he has been doing for some time already, he's able to come and say, "My gosh, they are in me." And you know, going to the spiritual, it's not that he's possessed by anything, right? But somehow, if it works that way, he's becoming who he does not want to be. And suddenly having the opportunity to say, and what do you want? I don't want that. And you have freedom to choose not to. And is the awareness is the door, right? And there's a lot more of work to do, but that view of saying, what if that those people won't be in me? How my life would it be? Kingston. Elements of courage and compassion and stuff that were very life-giving. So,
yeah, no, it just keeps.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, one of the things I was just thinking, it just keeps going. Like I have my son is almost 29, and we have had some tough conversations this week, and I'm wanting. I think I am different. I'm wanting to be different, and yet it still is a lot of work. And yeah, so it requires ongoing work, and it will be, you know, forever. And I want to do it. And I just want to say that it can be really hard sometimes. So anyway, go ahead.
It can, for sure. It's not easy. It's not quick. It's not, you know, we live a little bit in a culture, three steps to overcome trauma. Seven easy steps to, you know, I don't know if that still a baby needs 9 months to develop. Normally, trauma needs some work that is hard. I want just to add a last perspective before we close up. From the spiritual perspective, right? From the side of a spiritual direction and, you know, what in the world, trauma, how God allowed this and all of that. And you know, this is also a place of connection for me in the spiritual aspect is to think of, you know, the narrative of Christ. And if somebody suffered trauma, it was him, right? And it was unfair, it was unjust, and all the things that you want, it was naked, it was embarrassed, and it was betrayed, and it was physical, and all aspects of that. And there is this amazing thing that is unique, you know, the Paschal mystery or whatever of Jesus, but this is the essence of the Christian faith, and it is in his wounds. Right through his wounds, when there is some element of healing, but there is a cross and a death to cross, and there is a hope of resurrection, right? And there is an evidence of wounds that became a little bit of a testimony, and for some reason they are present in the narrative and in the resurrected Christ. And I believe that people who live in countries, I don't know, I'm from Ecuador. Like Ecuador, people who have lived in oppression and very, very hard situation. I don't have even words to relate to. You know, the looking at the cross and the healing aspect that somebody put words in me for that. Of seeing, I cannot explain. I couldn't even try, but just seeing the Christ and the wounds and the trauma, that there is a picture of trauma, but there is something else. And I think that's the point I want to make. Spiritually, yes, with God, there's resurrection, but is this helper in the middle of doing our work with trauma? That if you are dealing with trauma, if you're working with trauma, if it is scary for you, yes, now hold on with something that might be a pull helping you into this world. that might be in a place. It might be faith. It might be the vision of a life, overcoming trauma. We need that. I just wanted to point that.
Good. Yeah. And I was just, as you were talking, I was thinking about one of my favorite authors, Richard Rohr. I think you know who he is, Marcus. He would say that the two things that most bring us to transformation, to help us to be our best selves, our truest selves, is great love and great suffering.
Great suffering.
And so when I'm in the midst of experiencing effects of trauma or I'm with people, I always try to remember that there's something that happens in that suffering that transforms us in a way that nothing else can. And so it's hard in the midst of it, but yeah, I really do try to hold on to that.
Indeed. Thank you, Dawn. It has been wonderful. Just one last set of thoughts and let's say goodbye. I mean, then this is more like a final comments. So I'm hearing this conversation and then I have these memories and I have this idea that I have experienced trauma. I never done anything about it. Whatever is the awareness, what to do?
Yeah, I read this the other day, and I think sometimes for people it's just like scary. Like, do I want to go back there? Can I handle this? I'm getting by. Maybe my life isn't great, but I'm getting by. And so something I read is like at times we're afraid that all the pain, if we engage it, will swallow us up, but that we're already living inside of the belly. Like we're already living in it, but we're afraid that it'll swallow us up. Yeah. And so, I would just encourage people that I always think it's never too late. It really is never too late. Like to change the legacy of a family, whether you're, 20, 40, 60, even older. I know my mom is 80 and she's been in therapy like just recently. So, and that affects my relationship with her. It really, I've noticed that she's different with me. And those are my thoughts. Thank you. How about you, Marcos?
Yeah, I mean, in the same line, talk about it. Find somebody safe to talk about it. Start by bringing some element of light. This is the thought. Today, in faith walking, we say fully human, fully alive. That is the sign that God has given us to be, have a life that's fully human, fully alive. I don't know how many of us can say, I have a life that is fully human, fully alive, right? Sounds so good. There's a longing for that. And the thought that comes to my mind right now is, a fully human, fully alive life is not a life that did not suffer trauma. Maybe that's a fortunate life. I'm glad for that. But I think is a fully human, fully alive life is a life that I was able to experience trauma and face trauma and overcome trauma. And there's hope. It's the same hope that you are talking about. And it does not happen alone in the individuality, secrecy of my own thoughts, my own work, and a lot of books I'm reading about trauma. It doesn't. That's helpful. It happens in the felt experience of bringing that to the light of a conversation with another human being. And a lot of that is very powerful. So that is our encouragement, my encouragement today.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
Thank you, Dawn. And hopefully we will be here next time.